Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we connect you to the people, the places, and the land of Israel and, of course, the Middle East, and we keep you informed of the current events that are happening in that part of the world and bring you the truth of what's happening there. You have to dig really deep to find the truth of what's happening there because there's a lot of deception out there. And so we do that as well here on the Middle East Report, and I do appreciate you listening. Today, we're not going to talk about current events. I want you to turn the volume up on that phone, or if you're listening on the radio, or if you're listening on Alexa, however you are listening today, I want you to turn that volume up, pull up a chair, if you can, because we're going to have a wonderful Hebrew lesson. And Hebrew, of course, the language of the Bible, and we're going to learn some things today, which I absolutely love, because I always like learning things. And I don't know Hebrew very well, but I know somebody who knows Hebrew, and that is Melissa Briggs. Melissa Briggs is an experienced Hebrew teacher. She has lived in Jerusalem, in England, and they now live in the Nashville area with her husband and children, and they are so passionate about making the riches of the Hebrew language available to everyone. And something else I love about Melissa and Stephen Briggs is that they love children. They have fostered so many children. They just embrace children. And I'm going to have to ask her a little bit about that because she's a mom to a lot of children. And they're also a part of an incredible organization. They're ambassadors and Christian friends of Emuna. This is a beautiful organization that cares for orphans and vulnerable children in the Holy Land. Melissa, it is so good to have you here on the Middle East Report.
Thank you, John. It is an absolute pleasure to be here with you. I love talking about the Lord and His Word, and I'm looking forward to this.
This is going to be so much fun. And as you're listening here, you're not going to want to go anywhere because you're going to learn a lot today. I love the fact that you love children. You guys have fostered a lot of children, right?
Yeah, that's right. We've had 15 foster children. We have two biological children of our own. We have a 9-year-old foster son at the moment who's very high needs, and it has just been a humbling honor to serve the Lord in this way. It is equal parts rewarding and challenging, but it's something that we really feel called to. And we're so delighted that we can connect with Emuna, this amazing organization in Israel that for 90 years has been caring for Israel's orphans and vulnerable children and foster children in the land. And they do such an amazing work caring for these children. And there's even opportunity through Emuna, Christian Friends of Emuna, they have a new program called Guardian Angels, where they're inviting Christians to sponsor a specific child in Israel and make it possible for them to get the care and the trauma counseling that they need.
You know, it's amazing when you think about the things that you just said about children that are vulnerable and orphans. And, you know, it's like Israel? Yes, in Israel and all over the world. You know, children are children. This world that we live in can be very, very difficult anywhere in the world and even in Israel. And so this organization is just really going in there and blessing these families and helping them.
Absolutely. They've been on the ground doing this work for 90 years. This organization started during the Holocaust when a group of British Jewish women saw that there was children arriving in Israel during the Holocaust whose whole families had been killed and they needed a place to stay. And so they built a small orphanage at the time, and it's really developed into an amazing network to care for families and children, to keep kids out of foster care. They have domestic abuse safe houses. They rescue teen girls out of prostitution. They help parents who need parenting courses and drug and rehab rehabilitation and all sorts of programs. So it's a really great way to make a meaningful difference in Israel is to support Emuna and what they have been doing so faithfully for 90 years.
How do people find out more about this organization?
Yes. So if you check out Emuna Israel. .org. That is a great landing site. You can learn all about, see videos, see pictures of these kids, and you can even choose for yourself a child to sponsor in Israel. My husband and I have done that. We picked a little girl the same age as our daughter, and we're so excited to be able to make it possible for her to be cared for in the Muna home.
That's a beautiful, beautiful story, and we want to get into the teaching time now here on the Middle East Report and learn a little bit about this beautiful ancient language called Hebrew. And you know, you say you don't have to be a Hebrew scholar to benefit from learning the deeper meaning of some key Hebrew words. You've been doing this for a long time, Melissa, and what we want to do here during this short time that we have here in the Middle East Report, we want to look at five Hebrew words that is really going to help us understand, you know, different aspects of God's word, his character, and then we're going to try to apply that, you know, to our lives for our daily walk. So we're going to try to do that in a pretty fast-paced moment here on the Middle East Report. And you've been studying Hebrew for a long time. You teach Hebrew. You've got a course that we're going to tell everybody about as well. So where do we begin?
Absolutely. So I realize not everybody has the time or desire to learn the whole language for themselves, you know, the different parts of speech and all the letters and the vowels. But I do think it's really valuable for every Christian to know the original meaning of some key Hebrew words that are central to our faith. Because the truth is that the good news is actually even better news than most of us realize, because when the Bible is translated into English, sometimes we just don't have the right word to accurately sum up what the Lord was trying to say about who he is and how he feels about us, what he wants for us and from us. And I promise you, this is really good news. Each of these words that we're going to look at will be an encouragement to you, because sometimes our English word just is watered down, or it's weaker, or it's saying something a little bit different. But God chose these words on purpose when he inspired the writing of the Holy Scriptures, you know, originally in the Hebrew language. And he chose these words because this is what he meant. This is the kind of hope that we should have. This is the kind of love we should have, the kind of faith we should have. So I hope this is an encouragement to you. And yeah, I think there's value in all of us, for all of us in this.
Well, I'm at a disadvantage because I don't know a lot of Hebrew words. I can say shalom. I can say that one, but there's a lot of words I don't know. And so, all right, Melissa, our Hebrew teacher, get us started.
A great example of a word that means something even better in the original Hebrew is the Hebrew word for hope, which is tikva. A lot of people know this word because the national anthem of Israel is ha-tikva, which means the hope. But to us in English, the connotation around hope is more wishful thinking, optimistic thinking, kind of positive thinking, and there's not a guarantee behind it. But this biblical Hebrew word doesn't mean just optimistic thinking. It means expectant waiting for a guaranteed outcome. So this is fantastic news. It means where we're finding this word, where the Lord is saying we should have tikva, hope, these are promises we can hang on to. And we wait so differently for something that we know is going to happen, don't we? And we use this word hope in English to say things like, oh, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope that there's going to be pizza at the party. I hope this person will be there. And, you know, it's a nice thought. It'd be nice if it happened. There's no strength behind it. And because of that, when we're looking at the word hope in the Bible, just coming from an English Western mindset, we just think, oh, you know, that would be nice to be like optimistic if this thing might happen. But no, the Lord's saying, this is going to happen. And of course, he ultimately is our hope. There's a number of verses that say the Lord himself is our hope. It says in Psalm 71:5, for you are my hope, my tikva, O Lord God, you are my trust from my youth. And in other places like Proverbs 23:18, it says, surely there is a future and your tikva will not be cut off. And something I just have to add about this too, because this word is so fascinating in the Hebrew language. It's so fascinating and amazing. But every Hebrew word has three primary root letters, or the vast majority of them have three primary root letters. And all of the words with the same root letters are grouped together in a family of words and meant to be understood as a family of words around a shared topic. And so this makes learning Hebrew actually very logical and organized. It's a much better, much more organized language than English. So, for example, the Hebrew words for book, library, author, to tell a story, they all sound and look really similar. But in English, our words for library, book, author, to tell a story don't necessarily sound similar. So when you learn a little bit of Hebrew, you have this advantage of knowing the connections that are there and meant to be understood in the original language. And the word tikva is actually really closely related to the word for rope, which is a surprising connection in English. But the idea is that just like how a rope was originally made in the olden days, that you would slowly take strands together and twist them in a slow strengthening process. The idea of expectant waiting, it's not a waste. Waiting is not a waste. Our culture has really ruined this idea of waiting, thinking we should be able to microwave everything, just jump to the good part. But biblically, waiting is so important. It's a huge theme. And the idea is that the waiting process is strengthening our connection to God. You picture like this rope between us and God, and the waiting is strengthening, strengthening, strengthening. And if you're going to tie up your boat to the dock, you don't want one little string connecting you. You want a sturdy, you know, shipyard standard rope. And the Lord, in his wisdom, has us expectantly waiting till the right time. He's strengthening us in the process. And we could easily talk 1 hour about this word in itself, but I know that there's a lot more to get to.
That is so beautiful. I'm still going back to, you know, your definition. It's not your definition. It's what the Hebrew is for the word tikva. And I'm going back to that. It is the expected, desired outcome that it will happen. It's going to come. It's a certain hope and a future. It's not just like I'm hoping I'm going to have a piece of pizza, or I hope the weather is good. It is certain. And that's what God's word is. It's like, this is going to happen because that's God's word.
Absolutely. A beautiful picture of this is in the story of Rahab, Joshua, Jericho, where Rahab puts a scarlet cord or rope out of her window. The word there in the Hebrew is actually literally the word tikva. This is the hope that Rahab had, is that the Israelites had told her, put this cord out of your window and you and your household will be saved. And this is, it's this beautiful picture of this certain hope we can have in the Lord, this connection we can have with him, and the purpose he has in the waiting process.
Melissa Briggs is our guest here on the Middle East Reports, and she is a Hebrew teacher. If you want to find out more about what she is doing, you can visit this website. There's a course that you can actually get to be a part of learning Hebrew and learning the ancient language of the Bible. It's going to open up your eyes. I just want to encourage people to find out more about that when you go to explorehebrew.com. That's the website that you can go to, and you've got an entire course that people can engage in and so much more on that website. So explorehebrew.com. All right, we have to keep rolling along here on the Middle East Report. Word number two.
Yes, the next word we're going to talk about, we mentioned already, it's the word emuna, or emuna, more properly pronounced in Hebrew. And this word means faith. But again, our modern Western mindset has shifted the idea of faith to just a mental assent to a certain set of ideas. But this is not the biblical definition of faith. When the Lord's asking us to have faith, he wasn't just asking for something to happen in our head, just a mental assent. The biblical idea of faith, of emunah, is active faith. It's faithfulness. You cannot be a person of faith if you're not a faithful person. And that biblical idea of faith is that it actually, I can tell a lot more about what you actually believe if I looked at your, you know, bank activity and your calendar. It's what we actually do that shows forth what we really believe. And the idea of emunah is related again, if we look at the family of words and the other words related to these root letters, it is about steadiness, faithfulness, truth, loyalty, and it's related actually to the physical word for pillars. Like tikva was related to this more practical word. A lot of times in Hebrew, where a word might just be abstract in English, like faith or hope or love, in Hebrew, because of the way it's organized with the family of words, we get a really helpful visual image that helps us understand the abstract idea better. And so for tikva, it was a rope. And for emunah, it's a pillar or a support. The word, the root verb of emunah, aman, means to support or to believe. And our culture has totally lost the plot where it comes to truth and faith. You know, the Disney princesses teach us whatever your heart believes will come true, and, you know, have your truth, I'll have my truth. But biblically, truth is not movable, and truth is summed up in the Lord himself, in the Lord Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are supposed to have our faith in the truth. They go together. We can't separate them like our postmodern culture tells us that we can do. And ultimately, he is the one who is truly faithful. He lives and the Lord God has perfect emunah. There's verses that where we can read about that in Psalm 33:4. It says, "For the word of the Lord is upright. All of his work is done in emunah." And there, some of our English translations are translating that word there, emunah, as faithfulness, truth, reliability, steadiness. And a lot of times it takes 3, 4, 5, 12 words in English to properly sum up what one Hebrew word encapsulates. It's a really beautiful, rich language. And there is so much steadiness in the Lord. He is stable. He is reliable. He is our support. He is always faithful to us. And we should have our faith in him, and we should show forth that we have that faith by living for him, by having an active faith, by doing practical things to serve him, to serve others in his name. And that's, of course, what we're doing with Emunah. That's what we're trying to do in foster care. I know there's lots of ways that people can do that, but I'd encourage you to put your faith, your Emunah, into action.
You know, it reminds me of the scripture, and I can't remember the reference right now, but faith without works is dead. That's in the Bible.
James.
And so that's amazing. So that's word number two. We have to keep rolling along here with our Hebrew lesson here on the Middle East Report. And before we get to word number three, I just want to encourage those of you who are listening, go deeper into God's word. You don't have to be a Hebrew scholar to do that, but you can dig deep and go back to the original language, because as Melissa is sharing, it's so much deeper when you do that in the understanding of God's word. All right, word number three.
Yeah, the next word that we're going to look at is chesed. You kind of have to bring up a hairball to pronounce this one properly. Chesed is one of these words that it takes at least 12 words in English to properly define this. It is such a rich word. It's usually translated as love or loving kindness or steadfast love. And when we think about our English idea for love, I think we can agree that we overuse this word, that we have watered it down, that, you know, say, oh, I love your shirt. I love this new TV show. I love this new acquaintance. And people, I'm sure, have told us that they love in the past and let us down or betrayed us. It lacks the strength and the commitment that this word chesed has. So I always think it's no wonder it does not mean a lot to most people if you tell them that God loves them, because, yeah, they've heard that before from other people and it literally means nothing. But this word means so much. And this word is not an emotional word. It's not about emotions that God has towards us. It's about his faithfulness, his steadfastness, his kindness, his reliability. It is about his character, his covenant, his word, and it is the kind of love that every human heart is looking for. Most problems in our life and our world are people looking for love in all the wrong places, but this is the kind of love that doesn't change. It's completely committed. It is based on God's loyalty and his covenant. And he is so faithful. He always is in perfect emunah. And we can have such tikva in this chesed. And there's some words, some verses, beautiful verses. I love teaching students a few Hebrew words and what they really mean. And then when they go back and read the Bible passages where we find these words, I just feel like they come to life, or they mean so much more when we understand the real meaning of these words, what the Lord's actually trying to say. So, for example, Lamentations 3:22 says, "Because of the Lord's great chesed, his steadfast, faithful, loyal love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." And you might not be aware that this word turns up in a favorite verse in Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and chesed shall follow me all the days of my life." And that is a beautiful promise that we can hang on to. God's goodness and his steadfast, loyal, never giving up love will follow us all the days.
Melissa Briggs is our teacher today here in the Middle East Report, and we're learning about Hebrew words. And she's got a beautiful course that is available for everybody. And you can find out more about that when you go to explorehebrew.com. You can go there and you can find out more about how you can engage in this beautiful course that Melissa has put together in teaching Hebrew. We have to keep moving because we're just about out of time, so we're on word number four.
Yes, this next word is the word Ezer, and it means help. You might be familiar with Ebenezer, means stone of help. And this word is an interesting one. I love that learning Hebrew is not just some scholarly pursuit, not just something that, you know, happens in our head or stays in the classroom. For me, learning Hebrew has had such practical daily application for my everyday walk with the Lord, and this is a great example of it. I hope it encourages you as well. In our modern Western culture that really values independence and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and standing on your own two feet, we've really misunderstood the biblical concept of help. We were never meant to do life on our own. We were never meant to depend on ourselves. We were never meant to figure everything out on our own. We were always meant to be dependent on God, to need his help and to need the help of the family and the body of Christ around us. But this word, Ezer, is beautiful because the root word, the family of words that it comes from, means to assist and to surround. And I don't know if it's just what happened in my own head or if somebody mistaught me in Sunday school when I was younger, but I always imagined that the Lord was expecting so much of me and standing at a distance and judging my performance and, you know, annoyed if I needed his help or his assistance. And this word teaches us that that couldn't be further from the truth. He is surrounding us. He delights to do so. There's so many verses that speak to that. And when we ask the Lord for help, he is so near. He is all around us. He is so happy when we realize that we need his help. He's not annoyed with us. He's not frustrated, and he's always available. And I love Psalm 121, verse 1, where we find this word Ezer. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my Ezer come from? My Ezer comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And Psalm 54, 4 says, surely God is my Ezer. The Lord is the one who sustains me, and he desires for us to be in this dynamic relationship with him. He's not standing at a distance, judging us. He is coming close. He is happy to help, just like we're happy to help our young children. He's happy when we realize that he is near and he surrounds us.
That's beautiful. The deep depth of the Hebrew words, and we just encourage you to dig in deeper, and Melissa's helping you to do that. We only have 4 minutes left to the Middle East report, but we're going to get to one more word.
Yes, the last word I wanted to talk about is another word that has had so much practical application in my walk with the Lord. I was going through a stage about 10 years ago where I was really struggling with fear, and I decided to do a biblical Hebrew word study about fear. And I was expecting there to be two different words. I was expecting there to be the Hebrew word for fear that's about reverent awe we should have of the Lord, and then a different word for the type of fear of, you know, the fear of death or the fear of our enemies, the fear of the dark, the fear of spiders, whatever it might be. And I was surprised when I opened the word and was studying all the verses about fear that there's just one word. And I was surprised over and over again the verses that said, the Lord alone is worthy of our fear. And the Lord was speaking to me and teaching me, and I think that the Hebrew and the Bible really backs this up, is that the goal is not to have no fear. You know, it was popular to have hats and t-shirts when I was a teenager that said no fear. That's unrealistic. And the Lord wants our fear. It is right and normal when we understand that things are out of our control, that they are bigger, stronger than us. But the Lord is always the biggest and the strongest, and nothing is out of his control. And so when we come across things that make us fear, that we realize they're bigger and stronger than us, we can cast those onto the Lord. We can choose where to put our fear. We can put our fear onto the Lord or onto these other things. And he wants our fear. He wants us to recognize his strength and his power, his sovereignty in such a practical way through studying this Hebrew word, yirah. I have realized that, okay, I come up against a fear and I can stop and pause and say, God, I realize this is out of my control, that this is scary or difficult, but I choose to trust you. I choose to put my fear onto you. You alone are worthy of my fear. It says, Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall yare, that's the the verb form of yirah. Only the Lord your God you shall worship and swear by his name. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Whom shall I yare? And there's so many beautiful verses about the fear of the Lord, of the goodness that comes when we have our fear rightly placed on the one who deserves it.
Melissa Briggs teaching us today these beautiful Hebrew words. Thank you so much for being our guide and our teacher and your dedication to this beautiful language. And if we will dig in and learn this language, we're going to understand the Bible so much more. So thank you so much for what you do. And you have this beautiful course that you offer people. So I just want to encourage people to find out more about that when you go to explorehebrew.thinkific.com. And the last part of that is THINKIFIC, thinkific.com. But it's explorehebrew.thinkific.com. They can go to that website. They can find out all about what you are doing. And I have been inspired during this Middle East report. We talk about a lot of heavy things, but I've been so inspired just talking about the Word of God, just hearing the truth of God's Word and the deeper meaning in the Scriptures in the Hebrew language. And I sure appreciate you teaching us today.
Thank you. It's been a joy to speak with you.
What a great conversation with Melissa. If you want to find out more about this 8-part Hebrew course where you can learn biblical and even modern Hebrew, I want to encourage you to go to explorehebrew.com, explorehebrew.com. And Melissa has made available to those of you who listen to the Middle East Report a discount on this 8-part series. If you'll just use ME Report in the promo code area, ME Report, you'll get $70 off of the course. I really believe that this will help you dig deeper into God's Word. That's one of our goals here on the Middle East Report, is to encourage you to go deeper when you study God's Word. And it's important for us to read God's Word, but it's also very important for us to put the Bible into its proper context. And that is the history, the geography, the culture, and so many other things that we miss when we really don't apply ourselves when we study and read God's Word. So I want to encourage you, consider getting this course, this 8-part video course, and access to that. But you can find out more when you go to explorehebrew.com. That's explorehebrew.com. And there is a $70 off the course promo code that you can use, ME Report. And when you do that, you'll get $70 off. And I appreciate Melissa doing that for those of you who listen to the Middle East Report. This whole show has been an encouragement for all of us that we can dig deeper into God's Word. And when we do, our lives will never be the same. So I encourage you to dig deep into God's Word. Study God's Word. That's the Middle East Report. Thanks for listening. Get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast. We are on all the major podcast platforms. You can just search for The Middle East Report, or you can go to afr.net and you can download it there. I'm John Riley. Thanks for listening.